Dear congregation, the theme for the sermon tonight is serving and worshiping God. Serving and worshiping God. Three thoughts. First, the importance of it. So the importance of worshiping and serving God according to the second commandment. The importance of it. Second, how not to. So how not to serve and worship God. Namely, to idols, to images. And thirdly, how to. So how to serve and worship God. So serving and worshiping God, the importance of it, how not to, and thirdly, how to. So positively. So first of all, the importance of serving and worshiping God. Well, in our travel through the Heidelberg Catechism, we have arrived a couple of weeks ago in the third part. That part that deals with thankfulness or gratitude. Why that gratitude and thankfulness? Well, because of the salvation in Christ. That he lifted up out of our misery, forgave our sins, that God the Father adopted us as sons. And therefore, that triune God is worth all our praises, our thankfulness, our gratitude. Once we know Jesus Christ, definitely our life will be changed. We will be changed, of course. Well, in this third part, two topics stand central. The first topic, we are dealing with that, is about God's commandments. The Ten Commandments. Because they show us how to serve God and how to worship God. How to live in thankfulness and gratitude for his overflowing goodness, for his mercy and grace, for the gift of his Son. And the second topic, which stands central in the third part of the Heidelberg Catechism, is the Lord's Prayer. So important. Alive in gratitude and thankfulness is a prayerful life. Well, we have begun already with the Ten Commandments last week, and tonight we hope to reflect on the second commandment. I hope you still remember from last week the inscription above the Holy Law. I'll read it for you. I am the Lord your God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And God knocks at our door, right? He introduces himself as the God who rescues, the God who saves, the God who redeems. Why? Because he chose to do so. Why me? Why us? Because he chose to do so. Was there anything in us? No, not at all. But in spite of us, here he stands and he says, I am the Lord your God. I know who you are. But still I redeem you. I save you. I set you free. I buy you through the blood of my Son. You are mine. That's the inscription. And then follows the first commandment. We heard it last week, shortly, in the third thought. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Of course not. If that God is our God, and if he chooses to save us, to redeem us, to adopt us as his sons, his children, then of course There can't be any other God. There's just one God. Oh, what a wonder it is that that God, the one true God, revealed himself, saved us, redeemed us, forgave us, adopted us. That's amazing. There is no other God. Of course not. There is no other God. All other gods are idols and they are non-existent. They are non-existent. And then follows the second commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven carved image. And bow down thyself to them. That's the problem. If we make a carved or a graven image and we bow down before that image, and then it continues in the second commandment, nor serve them. It starts with making that image of God, and then follows bowing down before that image, not for God, but before that image. And then we serve that image, and no longer God. And God said, no, not like that, please. Again, the first commandment was about the fact that there is just one God. Please, idols are non-existent. There's just one God. The second commandment is, how can we serve and worship that one God? And of course, that's a timeless question. It was an important question back then in the time of the Old Testament, in the time of Jesus, the Apostle Paul, in the time of the Reformation. But it's now, and it will be tomorrow, that important question, how can we worship and serve that one true God who saved us through his Son? How can we worship him? Is there a more important question? I don't think so. Because God is a God jealous on his honor. A timeless question. You know what happens if we don't serve and worship God, or we do it in our own way? You know what happens? That our life becomes idle and vain. Do you like your life to be idle and in vain? No? Well, then worship and serve the true God on the way he wants to be served. You know what happens if we don't serve and worship that God on the way he likes to be worshipped? Then we forget where we come from. We forget the foundation of our life. We forget our Creator. And our whole life is like built on quicksand instead of the foundation of God. We are the works of his hand, and therefore we should worship him truly with our heart as he wants to be worshipped, and not in our own way. Do you like a life built on quicksand? Of course not. You know what happens if we don't worship God as he wants to be worshipped? Your life is without direction, without support, without guidance. Your life becomes purposeless, useless. It's a life in vain. But even worse, you know what happens if we don't serve and worship the God in the way he wants to be worshipped? There will come a time for each one of us will meet that God. That God who is our Creator. That God who in his providence led us through life. That God who knocked at our door and told us time and again, I'm your Savior. I give you my Son. I'm the only true God. Please worship me as I want to be worshipped. And there we will stand before him. And suppose you didn't worship him here? How terrible must that meeting be? And he will look to us and say, you never worship me. you never really listened to me. Go out. Go out from me. There will be others. And they will stand there trembling and say, Lord, I try to serve thee and to worship thee. But often, I did it wrong. He will say, come in. I see your heart. Come in. Oh, how important it is that we bow down for that one true God and we do it in the way He wants to be served and worshipped. Please pay attention that the second commandment is a commandment with a strong curse, right? It says, I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. If we don't worship Him in the right way, this is the consequence. And at the same time, He gives a rich blessing. He says, if you worship me in the right way, as I want to be worshipped, well, I show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and to my commandments. Apparently, this commandment is important because it is connected both to that strong curse and to that blessing, that wonderful blessing. Well, indeed, it is important. Well, this was thought number one, the importance of serving God, worshiping God in the right way. Let's move to the second thought. How not to worship God and serve God. The second commandment is probably a difficult commandment, isn't it? I found it when I look back in my life, often, especially when I was younger, difficult to understand. Because I'll read it for you, that first part. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. A graven image? You can raise your hand if you have a graven image in your house and you worship God through that graven image. Probably no one of you. So what is the meaning of this commandment? Obviously, we don't have any graven image in our house. And we don't bow for a graven image and we don't serve a graven image. So what does God in the 21st century want of us? If we don't have any graven image, what does He want from us here in the second commandment? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. I can sit down because we, no one of us does make it. This is an easy commandment, right? Any likeness, anything that is in heaven above, in the earth beneath, in the water under the earth, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. Lord, thank thee, I never did anything against this commandment. Oh yes. Is that true? Is that true? Well, in order to understand this commandment, we first need to go back to the time of the Old Testament. You know, all these heathen people, the pagans around the people of Israel, they all worshipped idols. None of them, terrible by the way, none of them served one true God. How blind the world is. What a task for us to tell them that there is a God seeking out so willingly and wonderingly to save them that He even gave His beloved Son for them. We have such a wonderful message to the world. But okay, back to Israel. All these Canaanite people and people in Mesopotamia, wherever they lived, they worshipped idols and they did so through images. Not one image. Images. Many of them. If you could come with me and visit one of the houses there, you would see not one image, but a bunch of images. And many, many temples to all kinds of different gods. You know, there are even families of gods. Royal families. There was a father god and a mother god and several sons and nephews and cousins and I don't know what all. And they didn't like each other and they had words and they had quarrels. And you know what the amazing thing is about all these gods? You're right. They're just like us. They are just like us. Because life is unpredictable. Life brings many questions with it. So that's because the gods are unpredictable. They're like us. You know, one day they say A and the next day they say B. You know, all these gods, they were just images of all these people. We make our choices, we don't stick to these choices. One day we love someone and the next day we hate someone. Sometimes we are at war, sometimes there are afflictions. Well, the gods in the ancient times were just like that. In a way, that was a nice explanation why there were afflictions. Why so many things went wrong. It was all because of the gods were like that. But you know what a terrible thing was? These gods were in the meantime. They were like us. Whole families. With everything that takes place in our families took place there with these gods. But you know the terrible thing was these gods were in the meantime all powerful. They were so mighty. Oh, and these gods, they lived far up in heaven. You couldn't reach them. You couldn't reach them. Invisible. So what did they? What did they do? They made images, of course. If you make an image of that God, you have a representation of that God in your house and in the temple. So you have that God always with you. You can't see that God, but you can see that image of that God. And many gods, so many images. And all these images, they expressed something of that particular God. By example, there was a god in the shape of a young bull. Well, he was the god of strength and fertility. There was a goddess so beautiful, depicted as the most beautiful girl or woman you ever have seen in your life. Well, because it was the goddess of love and sexuality. So all these gods, all these images, they depicted something of that God. And there were all kinds of rituals around these images. Why? Well, to satisfy these gods. By the way, these rituals were often very gruesome. Did you know that there were many child sacrifices? Many? Among the Canaanite people? Many child sacrifices? Did you know that there was prostitution in the temple? That often the young girls, before they would marry, would go to the temple to have prostitution there? This was the way how to serve, how to satisfy these gods, because these gods were like us. So how to satisfy them as we are satisfied? Terrible, isn't it? Terrible. Well, these images, they traveled with these people. Wherever they went, they took these images with them. Because they wanted to satisfy these images. These images represented God. And in that way, they would satisfy their gods. Do you see what is happening here? Do you realize what's happening here? Man formed an image of God in his mind. An explanation of the things happening in life. They formed an image of God in their mind. And secondly, they made that image tangible. Wood, stone, precious metal, whatever. And then thirdly, they bowed down before that image because it represented the God made in their mind. And then they served that God, which was in the very first place made in their mind. Do you feel what's happening here? One word fits. They made their own gods. They comprehended their gods. They tried to understand their gods, to grasp thy God. And by understanding them and grasping their God and to satisfy their God, to receive their blessing. They were manipulating their gods in order to receive their blessing. Because if you understand a God and God was just a picture of us, and you manipulate that God and receive the blessing of that God. In other words, they grasped their God. Actually, these gods were placed in the service of men. This is the most terrible thing. By serving these gods, they served themselves. If you wanted to have riches in life, well, you pray to that particular God who dealt with riches. You were looking for a husband or a wife, well, you prayed for the God dealing with these issues. You were sick, well, you prayed to another God. And you manipulated that God in order to receive their blessings in your life. Ultimately, what happened in these days, back in those days, God was put at service to man. Are you beginning to understand why God doesn't want to be served by images? Of course not. God is not at our service. We can't comprehend God. We can't grasp God. We can't manipulate God. Of course not. Oh, and ever in strong words it said, thou shalt not do as the heathen around you. You can't manipulate you. You can't grasp me. You can't force me to bless you. I am God and not you. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Any likeness that is in heaven above, in earth beneath, in water under the earth, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. And he adds to it again, strong warning. It's serious what's taking place here. I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Hate me? Is it that worse? Is it that bad that in God's eyes, when we worship him and serve him through an image, that we hate him? Apparently for God it is. It is a serious thing here. Again, this commandment, which is all about serving God and worshiping God, not through images, ends with these words, I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Why? What is the connection between making an image and bowing down before that image and serving and worshiping God through an image and hating him? Now, first of all, the biblical word for hating is in the first place that we don't put something, in this case God, in the first place. place. Hate begins there where we do not put something, somebody, in the first place. In biblical terminology, here starts hatred. In other words, when we don't put God in the first place, when we don't give Him His rightful place, there starts hatred. Why? Well, in the practice of life, putting God not on the first place easily ends up being displeased with God and ends up even hating God. Really? I'll explain. If you don't put God on the first place, that only one true God who is the Savior, the Redeemer, if you don't put Him on the first place and don't listen to His words and don't worship Him on the right way, in other words, you put Him on the second place, you put yourself first, you put yourself and your own conceptions in the first place, your own wishes and your own will, then certainly you will end up disappointed with that God. And therefore, we shouldn't make any image. If we make an image of God, I'll come back how we can make an image of God. But if we make an image of God, we put our own imagination in the first place, our own desires, and we end up disappointed because God is not the one whom we can manipulate. We don't bow down before Him. And probably it ends up in ending in the world. I heard it so many times. When I ask people, why don't you attend the church anymore? I got so many times this answer. God didn't answer my prayer. Well, they made an image, and they bowed down before that image, and in the end they started hating God, and they left God. It's a serious thing here. Well, and now, the 21st century, how can we make an image? By calling upon God and asking Him to do what we want, to do our will. There it starts. That's making an image. That's manipulating Him. That's making an image of Him. That we serve God in order to be blessed. We go to church in order to receive all kinds of earthly blessings. And let's be honest, how much religion, including church attendance, prayers, can be a cover to put God in our service? Oh, the second commandment is a commandment very important for us in the 21st century. That we serve God and worship Him to receive His blessings. That we can live as I desire. And therefore I serve God. I made an image of Him. We worship God, but in the meantime, we continue living for the world. We just serve an image. And we live according to our own desires. But it comes even closer, this second commandment. It comes even closer. how busy we can be at times, piously, to earn our salvation. We go to the church. We pray 3 times a day. All kinds of deeds of repentance, whatever these deeds are. We bring sacrifices to God. Why? Thinking, well, God will bless us certainly if we do it. We try to earn the salvation. We are manipulating God through images, but we don't bow before Him. God is free. We can't comprehend Him. Impossible. You know, that pious religiosity, that we serve God to be saved. In the end, I can tell you very bluntly, it's nothing else than paganism. It's paganism. That's it. It's making an image of God and manipulating God. If I do this, the Lord will do that. It doesn't work like that in salvation. This is the second commandment. Well, before we go to the third thought, because this was how not to serve and worship God, in the third thought we are going to hear how to do it. How to worship God in the proper way, not through images. Well, but first we'll sing in Psalter 308. Psalter 308, stanzas 1 and 2. That's Psalm 115, Psalter 308, stanzas 1 and 2. Serving God and worshiping God through images is in the end, it is bending God, trying to bend Him to do our will. I think you understand you can do this in all kinds of ways. Lord, see me. I'll do this. I'll do that. And then you will your part. That's serving and worshiping Him through images. You know, in the end, this sin started in paradise. It started in paradise to be like God. God said, oh, it isn't that worse. Come on. To be like God. Oh, it is a serious commandment. Let's do some heart-searching work. I'll do it and hope you do it this week. If there are hidden images and we worship for images instead of for the true God, maybe there are images among us. Well, with how to serve God? Well, several points. First of all, serving God starts here in that attitude of a gratitude and thankfulness for redemption. Worshipping God starts there. Where in your heart is not the thankfulness for salvation in Jesus Christ, you can't serve and worship God in the right way. You will end up in making images. And you will end up in being disappointed and displeased with God and what He does in your life and the life of others. And you will end up hating Him. It all starts there. Let's not forget again, how and why can I say this so strongly? Because of the inscription above the law. It all starts there. I am the Lord your God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, the house of bondage. I am the one who set you free. I did it voluntarily. Not because you are a covenant child, because you are better, because you prayed more, because you did deeds of repentance. No. But because you are a sinner and still I loved you. That's it. That's it. It's this one-sided elected love. If we don't see that, we will never, never, never be able to worship God because we didn't see God. We only see God in Christ. I'll come back on that later. Only in Christ our Savior we see God. And we don't know Christ when we don't have faith in Him and don't believe in Him. And when we don't flee to Him in repentance. We are still worshipping idols. It all starts there. Gratitude. Because of salvation. Well, secondly, so the first thing about the true worshipping is that it is out of thankfulness for salvation. The second thing, it is a bowing down before God without any reservation. Just bowing down before God. In complete self-denial. That's the second thing. It is bowing down before God in complete self-denial. There starts worshiping God. There it begins. When we bow down before Thee, why? The first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Point. No other gods. Not your work. Not your feelings. Nothing else. No other God. You will bow down before me. Unreservedly. Whatever the circumstances are in your life. If you are in the midst of afflictions. If you are healthy. If you are sick. During daytime, at nighttime. In your young years, in your older years. Bow down before me. That's worshiping God. Why should we do that? Because we know who He is in Christ. That God bowed down so deep to save us. That He reached out in the middle of my misery. In the miry pit to save me. Wretched sinner. If that's the case, I don't have any problem bowing down before Him. Whatever the circumstances are in my life. That's worshiping God in the true way. Thou shalt have no other gods. God is God. I'm not God. God is God. He's the sovereign one. In His providence He leads all things. And that God is a good-doing God. Well, in short, it begins with this recognition. Hallowed be Thy name. And there you are, in the midst of afflictions, in terrible circumstances, in sickness. And you say, hallowed be Thy name. There you are, in the midst of misery. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. And you pray, and you pray, and you pray. And you say, Thy will be done. In earth, as it is in heaven. In other words, Lord, I lay my prayers before You. But Your will be done, and not my will. Your kingdom will come, and not my kingdom. I will serve You, the sovereign one who leads all things in His providence. And I will do so, bearing my cross. This is bearing your cross. It is a life of self-denial and bowing down before God because you know God in Christ. And you know that He is such a good God. And maybe you don't understand God at all in your life. You have many questions. Overwhelmed by sorrows and questions. But this you know, He gave me Christ. The inscription above the law, right? And therefore the first commandment. I know there is one God and I will bow down before Him. This is why the Lord said in Mark 8. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross, follow me. Whosoever will save his life will bow down before images and try to manipulate me and earn his salvation. He will lose his life. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, Lord, Thy will be done, Thy kingdom come. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake, the same shall save it. The third thing about true worshipping. So the first thing was, it started with gratitude because you know the salvation in Christ. The second thing is bowing down before that one true God in self-denial. The third thing is the acknowledgement that God is incomprehensible. Point. You can't grasp God. That you can't understand God. That we can't search His wisdom. It's impossible for us to grasp His wisdom and His strength and His power and His providence. Just impossible for us. Therefore, worshipping God is not through an image, whether it be a tangible image 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, or an intangible image here in my mind. serving and worshiping God does not go if we try to grasp that God and comprehend that God. Serving and worshiping God will not go if we try to bend that God so he will carry out my will and I can pursue my own desires. No. Serving and worshiping God will not work if we want to come to him in our own way and try to earn salvation. God can never be understood. He's the totally other one, the totally different one. He cannot be grasped. He transcends everything. It is the other way around. Where we understand that we can't grasp and understand God, we see that he came down in Christ. He came to me. We don't have to climb to God. I don't have to understand God. I don't have to grasp it. Not necessary. He comes down to us. Here, in his word. He comes down to us in his word. He comes down to us in his son. He comes down to us in his spirit. And that spirit makes us a temple and indwells us. He condescends so lowly. He understands you. He knows your heart. That's more important that we know him. He knows us. He knows how we are framed. He knows our state. He knows everything. And he gives his son. And he bestows his spirit. So that we will pray, our Father which art in heaven. And that's enough. I have a Father in heaven. I can see him. I can't comprehend him. I can't grasp him. I can't understand him. But he knows me. That's far more important. Well, that's the third thing. It's the acknowledgement that God is incomprehensible, but condescends so low. You feel right? Here begins the worshiping of God. The fourth thing. How can we worship and serve God? There is that first question. Think about that inscription. How can we come to know God as our Savior? That's the first question. How can we come to know that one true God, the sovereign one? First commandment. And then, how can we come to take up our cross? To learn to take up our cross and to be fruitful for him? How can we begin to worship here? There is only one answer. This is the fourth thing. By his word. Do you like to worship God and serve him all the days of your life? Young people, please. Please, you're so young. Don't make an image. But serve God and worship him. How? Through his word. Not by an image, please. But by his word. Therefore, I read Deuteronomy 4. We have also read part of Deuteronomy 4 this morning. Let me read again a few verses from Deuteronomy 4. As ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, because God is so holy, incomprehensible, so great, he transcends everything. And that mountain was covered with darkness and clouds and thick darkness. And the Lord spake. He spoke unto you. That's it. true worshiping starts there. Listening to His word, piercing your ear to His word. That's it. Listening to that word, storing it in your heart, getting to know God, getting to know yourself. There starts true worship. God spake unto you out of the midst of fire. You can't comprehend Him. He transcends everything. So holy. Yet He revealed Himself. He spoke to you. And you heard the voice of His words. So sweet. What did you hear? What were the first words spoken? Amidst all these sinful people. And remember, right at the same time, they made an image, a golden calf. In spite of that fact, what were the first words? I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt. Isn't that amazing? That's God. How do we come to know Him? How do we worship Him in a true way? Listening to His word. That's it. Storing His word. Moses continues in Deuteronomy 4. He declared unto you His covenant. He declared unto you His covenant. He wrote it even upon two tables. You can trust Him in His word. God did not show Himself. What a grace is that? Because they would have perished, or we would perish. And besides that, He didn't show Himself because He is incomprehensible great. Unlike anything that we can imagine. The people and we too, they saw no likeness of Him. Of course not. Yet God reveals Himself. He made His voice heard. He spoke and He still speaks. And that voice brings gospel news. I am the Lord your God. I am the one who set you free. I know you are a sinner. I know you are making a golden calf. And still, right, the Lord knew it. And still He gave His covenant words. Those who want to serve and worship God, open God's word and listen to His word. We say in Dutch, maybe you have the same expression in English, I don't know. God comes to us in the garment of His word. God visits us, He comes to us, clothed in His word, in the garments of His word. There you meet Him, and there you start worshiping Him and serving Him. And therefore, the proclamation of His word is so important. Let us not neglect the services and the proclamation of His word. Well, there is a last thing. I'm almost there. There's another thing how we can worship God. Because we are not allowed to make an image. Because it is robbing God of His honor. We never should make any image. It is putting ourselves above God. It is manipulating God. Let us never make an image. But God, in spite of that, He gave an image. Young people, what is the image of God? Who is the image of God? Christ. He gave an image. How wonderful this is. And we see who God is in Christ. That's His image. And we can bow down before Christ when He hangs there at Calvary's cross. And you see your Savior hanging, laden with your sin and your guilt. That's the image of God, Jesus Christ. We can bow down before Christ and worship Christ. When we see Christ in His love, self-sacrificial love, there starts the true worship. Christ is God's image. Hebrews 1, right? God, who at sundry times and in diverse manner spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Do you want to see God? Look to Christ. Do you want to worship God in a true way? Flee to Christ. Well, finally, one word before I say amen. There is another image of God. What is that image? Do you know what that image is? Christ is an image of God. There is another image of God. We are the broken images. Terrible. God created us as his image. What an honor. But through sin, that image is broken. And God is reaching out in and through his Son, and through word and spirit, rebuilding that image in our life. We are indeed, if you know Christ as your Savior, the image of God. Well, what is the conclusion after this sermon? Let us please not make an image of God. Let us not even try to understand God. In any way, bend his will according to our will. But unreservedly, bow down before him, seeking upon Christ, seeing his inexpressible love. So great. That is where true worship starts. Amen. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. Oh, Lord, please. Lead us through word and spirit. Make us honest. That we never bow down for any image. That we never serve any image, but that we will bow down unreservedly before thee, O triune God. O Lord, therefore, we look to Jesus Christ. He is thy image, and in him we see that thou art such a good-doing God, a God of loving kindness. Lord, rebuild thy image in us. Lord, that our life may come to fruition, that we will have a fruitful life. And it all begins with worshiping and serving thee. Lord, thank thee for thy word. Go with us. When we travel home, go with us the next week. Thou knowest what awaits us. Lead us in all things. Lord, hear our prayer, receive our things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 130. We'll sing three stanzas, 1, 3, and 5. Psalter 130, that's Psalm 47, and we'll sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5. lift up your heart to God and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord, He bless thee and keep thee. The Lord, He make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord, He lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace.